Praise God. This series that we are doing has been from the time some of the things that are taken from some of the things Jesus spoke to me on May the 10th when He appeared and showed me His hands that were pierced. And there was light flowing from His hands. And so we are trying as much as possible as we understand all that God is trying to say to the Last Day Church to bring forth this series on grace and favor. And by His grace, since that time of May 10, I've been striving to spend about 4 hours with God every day, in spite of having to hold a full-time job. And by His grace, He has been very successful. And I intend to continue that for as long as I can. And sometimes we do take a little break on Saturday and Sunday and cut it down to about 3 hours. But otherwise, 4 hours a day with God. To me, for any ministry to succeed, you need to spend at least a minimum of about 4 hours with God. That's mixing prayer, worship, and reading of the Word. And in total, about 4 hours with God per day. For those of you who are not called to the ministry, well, minimum 1 hour. And 1 hour is just balancing. If I remember some of the teachings that we say, 1 hour is just balancing and cleansing. So if you can spend an extra half an hour, that will bring you moving forward. So that 1 hour just balancing you, just preventing you from going backwards. And it just neutralizes all that is in the world around you. But Jesus says, what could you not watch in me 1 hour? So that 1 hour is just maintaining. But you're going to move forward, add the extra 5 minutes, add the extra half an hour or the extra 2 hours. And God has been very good. And this message I'm bringing forth to you, I've been studying the Hebrew and the Greek words on grace and favor all over again in this series. But the Lord woke me up about 2:30 a.m. Last night, and I spent some time with Him praying. And then He just gave the message. He just gave the whole sermon. That's very nice. He doesn't do it all the time, right? But once in a while, He does that and say, here is your sermon points. Say, thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. And I was going to preach on something else, you know, on the Greek word on grace. But He says, this is the sermon that you're supposed to give to Him. So all credit goes to the Holy Spirit. And today's message is entitled, it's part of the continuing series on grace and favor. It's entitled, The Clothing of Grace and Favor. Or the cloak, the covering, or the clothing of grace and favor that God wants to put upon us. And in order for that clothing of grace and favor to be upon our lives, it is a three-measure coat. You know how sometimes some of your cloak or your jacket, like some of you are wearing warmly nice, most of you probably are wearing about at least about 2, if not 3 layers this morning. It's a nice, nice winter, isn't it? And I actually enjoy the winter more than the summer, because in winter you can keep warm by putting more clothes. But in summer you can't do much. You just wear less clothes, but you're still hot. And so enjoy the winter, enjoy wearing more clothes. And the cloak of grace and favor has 3 layers. So some of your coat that you're wearing has a lining and another lining and some insulation, and some of you don't feel any cold at all, as I can see. Right, you were born in Alaska, right? Yes, thank you very much. And Mozart sends his greetings to you, right? He's born in Alaska too, his forefathers. Now, before we can put on the cloak of grace and favor, we have to look at 2 other cloaks or clothing that we sometimes try to put that doesn't work. It doesn't produce grace and favor. It seems to, but it is not. And that story is taken from the book of Genesis, chapter 37. So we look at the two false cloak, if you can call that. Two human ones that seem to produce grace and favor, but it actually doesn't. In the book of Genesis chapter 37, we see in the life of Joseph. And Joseph have many blessings because his father loved him above all the other children that he had, which was not a correct principle either. But the Bible tells us in chapter 37 of Genesis, verse 1 to 3. Now Jacob dwelt in a land where his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. This is the history of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brothers, and the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought a bad report of them to his father. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children. And that's not correct, because whatever children you have, you must love them equally, because he was the son of his old age. No excuse. Also, he made him a tunic of many colors. That is a coat. So you can call it the three coats. This sermon, we are talking about the coat of grace and favor. But the first coat that Joseph received was a coat of many colors. It was beautiful. Now, in those days, they were not able to produce many colors. As you know, just probably a couple hundred years ago or so, the color purple was very rare, and it was supposed to be hard to obtain because it was expensive to get. And even further back in time, colors were not easily obtained. They don't have the technology or the scientific knowledge to bring it about. And so to get a coat of many colors was a tremendous achievement in those days. In verse 4, when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peaceably to him. So we look at Joseph's life as an example. And the first coat that he received, although it is called a coat of many colors, let's call it the coat of human affection. And it is based upon natural abilities or natural inheritance. Joseph did not work for that coat. He did not obtain it by his special gifts or talents or anything that he did. He got the coat because he was unfairly loved above all the other brothers. It was not fair. Israel was not being fair. And he loved Joseph more, as it tells you the reason here, because he was a child of his old age. But we realize that Jacob had a life history too, not a very pleasant one. And he had gone through a lot of hurts, and Joseph was a child of Rachel, whom he loved. And don't forget, he also has all the other three ladies whom he unfortunately got involved with and married and produced all the other sons. But Rachel was the one that he loved. And so out of that bonding came forth Joseph, and of course later on you have Benjamin too. And he unfairly loved the children. The children were innocent. I mean, whatever history he has, children were still children. They had no choice as to who was to be, you know, their parents. They just came about. They deserve the love that he showered upon Joseph. The coat of human affection. will produce all kinds of trouble. It may seem that you are fortunate, it may seem that you are blessed, it may seem that you have obtained a lot of grace and favor. But it's not the grace and favor that God wants. Now, out in the world, you have some very crude phrases on people trying to obtain grace and favor through the wrong way. You have several words, so that some are very crude words. But the amount of pleasant ones are like pulling strings, people who pull strings. And back in Malaysia, we have a Malay phrase for that. And now, forgot the full phrase, but I remember there's a word there called angkat, right? Sometimes we phrase it like person being a tripod, and all kinds of crude phrases of people who try to obtain grace and favor by human affection. They try to be close to the person. They try to do that, and that's still happening in the world today. Sadly, sometimes that happens among Christianity too, especially when you have a hierarchy in a Christian organization. And people think that they can obtain favors or obtain things or bypass things just because they get humanly affectionate with whoever is the top rung. They may try to get it anywhere else, but no way should they ever get it in any bona fide, spirit-filled Christian organization that is based upon the word. But that happens all the time out there in a human level. And that kind of grace and favor is based on human affection. And it's also playing on the weaknesses of people. See, Jacob had a flaw in his life. Whatever he did because there were flaws in his life. He was affectionate to his children unfairly. To one, he gave more love. To the other, he gave less love. And every action that is faulty in our life is a display of some fault within our character. Think about it very carefully. If you were perfect in your actions, then you would have to be perfect in your character. If you were imperfect in your actions, then it shows forth a fault in your character. It's a character that produces whatever actions that are faulty in your life. So the more Christ-like we are in character, the more our actions will be more Christ-like. And the more biblical your character becomes, the more biblical your actions would be. And so we have flaws in Jacob's life. And out of his flaw, he loved unfairly, to the dismay of all the other brothers, because after all, he was their father too. Why didn't they have it? And obviously, Jacob did not earn it by being, you know, better than the other brothers. The Bible tells us in verse 2, he brought a bad report to them, of them. So he kept telling bad things about his brothers. Now, despite the fact whether it's true or not true, the fact is that there's no necessity to keep on feeding that into his father's ears. The father's relationship with his other brothers were already partly strained. So to add on top of that is this bad report, and that makes him more strainous with the other brothers, the relationship more strained, and Joseph seemed to be closer. One of the key points in building any ministry is that no ministry and no church can be built by running down other people. Sometimes people try to do that. And so sometimes it's like a foolish little childish game people play. You know how everyone has flaws in their life. And so let's say everyone is wearing a white shirt, and your white shirt has a little bit of brownish mark on it. So, and if everyone is wearing white shirts, your brownish mark stands out. So what do? You take some mud and throw it in everyone, and everyone is more brown than yours, and yours looks slightly better.